Good day, and welcome to the A Small World Earnings Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Jan Luhser, CEO of A Small World. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Katie. I would like to welcome everyone to this earnings call for A Small World's 2020 full year results. I thank you for your continued interest in A Small World, especially during these challenging times we find ourselves in right now. My name is Jan Luhser. I am the Chief Executive Officer, and I will lead you through today's call. The presentation that I'm going to use for this call is available on our corporate website. In case you have not yet downloaded this presentation, you can find the link to it in this morning's press release, or you can go straight to our corporate website. The URL is www.asmallworldag.com, asmallworldag.com. There, once on the site, please select from the menu Investors and their Investor Documents, where you will find our most important downloads. And at the top of that list, you will find a document called 2020 Full Year Results Presentation, which is the document I will use for this call. So again, the document is called 2020 Full Year Results Presentation. As always, I will touch on the operational and financial highlights for the year, and will provide more context and background for you to better understand our results. And in the end, we will also open up for a Q&A session. So let's start with page number 2 of the presentation, and I would like to briefly recap the A Small World vision. A Small World is the world's leading travel and lifestyle community, and we focus on experiences, the modern definition of luxury, and centered around the A Small World social network, we operate a digital travel and lifestyle ecosystem which aims to inspire our member to travel better, experience more, and to make new connections. Page 3 then shows an overview of all our businesses as of today. The A Small World group consists of 7 businesses that make up what we call the A Small World travel and lifestyle ecosystem. At the center is the A Small World social network, which attracts an affluent customer segment with a high willingness to spend on travel and experiences. This audience then creates demand for other businesses, which range from events to the world's leading nightlife concierge with world's finest clubs to bespoke travel arrangements and hotel bookings. In short, with the A Small World social network, we attract our customers and then we increase our share of wallet for with those customers with our additional businesses. What I want to point out here is also that during 2020, we have launched our latest business, the A Small World Collection, and we have now reached our target setup of the A Small World travel and lifestyle ecosystem for the time being. And this was really an important step for us as we can now move from building new businesses, which always requires a lot of attention and a lot of resources, to improving the businesses that we have. And I will talk more about the Small World Collection in the services section. Now, let's move on to page number 5, where I would like to address the topic that has dominated the headlines in 2020, which is COVID-19. The COVID-19 pandemic created a difficult market environment for pretty much all of our businesses, and I guess we're not the only business, also for, I guess, every business in the travel and lifestyle space. Specifically, travel and social distancing restrictions impacted the demand we have seen for our services, which was felt the most in our services business unit, and there specifically in a reduced demand for travel services and for our events, because we just couldn't do as many events in 2020 as we could do in 2019. Further, these restrictions also had a negative impact on the subscription segment, where we saw a temporarily reduced attractiveness of the Small World and First Class and More memberships, which are, of course, heavily geared towards travel and events. And if those things don't take place or are not possible, then there's less of an incentive to actually, buy these memberships. Further, the world's finest clubs also saw a significant drop in demand as the global nightlife business, or the global nightlife in general, came to virtual standstill. Clubs were closed, so we're not, we didn't see a big demand for the membership and our nightlife concierge. All in all, you get the idea that the market environment was hardly ideal for a small world in 2020, and therefore also limited our opportunities to grow quite significantly. With this introduction on the general market context, now let's move on to the operational highlights for the year on page number 6. As mentioned, the most important highlight was the launch of the Small World Collection in July. This is a completely new business and will allow us to monetize our audience further by generating income from hotel bookings. The launch of the collection also completed our travel and lifestyle ecosystem, and all businesses that we want to have are now in place and fully operational. In terms of sales, we had strong prestige membership sales on the back of increased demand for business and first class travel during the pandemic. And we also saw strong sales for our first class and more Diamant membership, sort of the German word for diamond, as this mainly caters to German speaking audience. Also worth mentioning that in response to COVID-19, we have also implemented strict cost control measures. So we quite early on focused on cost because we had a feeling that this would last longer than we expected in the beginning. And this helped to offset the impact of a dip in demand and also the cost that we had to invest into getting this mower collection up and running. And we have also completed a full restructuring of the Small World Travel team setup. You may remember that we had acquired Luxury Bird as a travel agency in February 2019, which was based in the UK. And then last fall, we decided to close the UK entity and move the legal home of the travel business to Switzerland to save cost and to have a more streamlined setup. This effort was completed by the end of last year, and the new setup is now in place and will permanently lower the cost of our travel setup going forward. As for the financial results, now let's turn to page number 7. As mentioned, the COVID-19 pandemic created a difficult market environment for us and resulted in a sales decline of 7%. So we moved from 12.9 million in 2019 to 12.0 million in 2020. Despite the difficult market environment and the corresponding decline in sales, we still managed to increase our EBITDA by 3% from 1.45 million to 1.49 million. And the overall EBITDA margin also increased by 1.8 percentage points from 10.6 to 12.4 percentage points. These results in terms of revenue and EBITDA, which are our main two metrics, came in at the upper end of our latest guidance. In terms of income, we've achieved 0.7 million Swiss francs, which corresponds with 0.06 Swiss francs per share. I would like to mention also that the operating cash flow increased by 67% from 0.4 million to 0.6 million year on year, demonstrating the ability of the company to generate cash from the core business even during difficult times. And just for reference, our cash position was at 2.9 million per the end of last year. So to summarize these results, COVID-19 severely impacted our business due to the resulting travel and social distancing restrictions, which have hurt demand quite significantly. In addition, we also had to carry the investment cost from the launch of the Small World Collection, which is a completely new business that we started last July. And despite these two quite significant points, one external and one internal, we still managed to increase our EBITDA year on year. Even if it's not much, it's just 3%, we managed to sort of not only stabilize it, but also like slightly move it up. And I believe this is an achievement we can be very proud of. I also believe that this solid result demonstrates the resilience of the business and should give an indication of what will be possible once we will come out of this pandemic, hopefully at a later stage of this year. And on page number 5, you will see our most important metrics over the years. So to give you a bit more context, clearly on the left there, the dip in revenue is not what we had in mind at the beginning of the year, but for the reasons I've explained and the the resulting decrease in demand, I think it's temporary, and we will soon return to growth again. And we still managed to increase the member base by 7% year on year, which is great. And in terms of EBITDA, you can see after our investment years in 2017 and 18, where we had a negative EBITDA, we've now sort of basically been on par with last year, which I think is great in itself, like given that we couldn't increase our revenues. I think it's a great achievement. So after the operational and financial highlights for the entire business, we are now moving on to the reporting of our two business units, subscriptions and services. Maybe quickly for participants who have just joined the call right now, you can download the presentation for this call from our investor website. The URL is www.smallworldag.com. That is smallworldag.com. And once you're on the site, select investors from the menu and investor documents from the submenu. And at the top of the list, you'll find the relevant document, which is called 2020 Full Year Results Presentation. So 2020 Full Year Results Presentation. Good. Now let's move to the highlights of the subscription business on page number 10. In short, the business unit which sells memberships on a recurring basis actually grew, which is great. It grew by 10% during the year. This was primarily due to two factors: strong Small World Prestige membership sales. This was primarily the result of an increased demand for business and first class flights during the pandemic. And the miles that are included in the membership are basically an affordable way for customers to pay for upgrades or buy business and first class flights outright at the lower price than the cash cost. And then we've also seen the amount membership of first class and more with strong sales growth. This was primarily due to clever marketing and status level strategies. And for the regular Small World membership, we've experienced quite a significant dip in new signups. This was primarily driven by a smaller events program, so less reason to sign up for events, less travel activity, which also drives demand, and obviously social distancing restrictions in general, which impacted the events, but also people mingling in general. And frankly, probably also people had other priorities during the pandemic. On the positive side for the regular Small World membership, we've seen the renewal rates for Small World steady on a year-to-year comparison, which indicates a certain loyalty from our members even during difficult times, which is great and very positive. Also, the World's Finest Clubs had a challenging year. As I mentioned earlier, Global Nightlife, pretty much stopped to exist in 2020. And with that, there was also no need for a nightlife concierge service. So we took the time here to work on the CRM tool for the business, which has now been improved. And we're also working on a new website for the service, which will most likely launch in Q2 of this year, so that we're ready when this business should be ramping up again with a better website, which should lead to higher sales again. As a result of the above factors, we saw a bit of a shift in our sales mix, which had an impact on our EBITDA, which is slightly lower this year for the segment. This was primarily driven by higher COGS for the Small World Prestige membership, and here specifically for the air miles, which we buy from our partners, Miles & More and Etihad. On page 11, you'll find a deep dive of the Small World Prestige membership, which, as I mentioned, was one of the bright spots last year. The Small World Prestige membership is one of our two premium memberships. which are really a travel benefits package. The most important value element of the membership, which is sold for €5,200, are the 250,000 miles and more award miles, or the 250,000 award miles from Etihad. So customers can choose which one they want. The miles and more one is currently the more popular one. These award miles can then be used to purchase flight awards. So you can buy a business or first class flight, or you can buy or upgrade an economy flight to business or first class, which was extremely popular during the pandemic as people were looking for more space and distance from other travelers. As a result, we've sold a record number of prestige memberships last year, about twice as many as we sold in 2019. And since this beginning, business is becoming more and more important for us. We have also made sure that we can secure our most important partner for this membership and have extended the partnership with Miles & More this February for another year, which is great. We also believe that the sales of the Prestige membership will be strong again this year as global travel resumes. On page number 12, you will see an overview of the three memberships from First Class and More. First Class and More was acquired by us in 2018 and offers its customers what we call smart luxury travel. So the slogan is luxury travel at insider prices. And the service is the largest portal for insider travel deals in the German-speaking world. We offer three membership levels there, gold for €59, platinum for €199, and diamond or diamond for €999. And with clever marketing campaigns, the team managed to create strong demand for the diamond membership, which is the highest priced one. This was primarily done through a pairing with insider strategies to achieve airline status levels, like a gold level for the airlines at a very low cost. And it's, getting one of these status levels is always very popular with customers. So they basically bought the membership to acquire the knowledge to get these status levels at a low price, which worked really well during the pandemic and helped us to drive the amount of sales during the year. So these were a few of the highlights for the subscription segment. And now let's move on to page number 14 for the highlights for the services segment. As mentioned, travel and social distancing restrictions caused a hopefully temporary dip in demand for the offering of this business unit. And in summary, we saw our sales decrease by 30% year on year. So you will see, or you will do the math, that like if we could have state level on this in the services segment, we would have been growing year on year. So it was really the services segment that decreased in sales and resulted in an overall dip in sales for the company. On the positive side, we still managed to improve the profitability of the segment by 6 percentage points due to better cost management. So looking at some of the highlights here on the right of the page, we saw in-person events for the Small World Social Network decrease by 73%. This was, of course, due to the social distancing restrictions, which made it impossible to host events. We took the decision in April last year to not do any in-person events and kept that in place, I think, for about 6 months when we slowly started opening up again in the places where it was safe. But overall, we had, just to put it in context, in 2019, more than 1,000 events. And in 2020, we were only able to host 300 in-person events. And this obviously had a direct impact on our events revenue, but it also indirectly impacted the demand for the Small World membership, as there were fewer reasons, basically, to sign up. However, to compensate for that, we've actually created online events for the first time in our history, and we hosted close to 400 online events during the course of 2020. which shows how quickly the team actually reacted to this new environment. And the new events have proven actually quite popular, and I believe we will keep them in our offering even once we can resume with in-person events, because they are just liked quite a bit by our members, and I believe they will have a place in our offering even when we start with in-person events again. On the travel side, we saw a significant decline in travel sales by a small world private, or a high-class sort of traditional high-touch travel agency. We saw many cancellations of existing bookings due to restrictions and not many new bookings. So it was really a dire year for everyone who is a travel agency. And also similarly, the newly launched Small World Collection, which is our online hotel booking platform, saw very, very slow sales start from July onwards, because during the pandemic there were just not many bookings made on a global basis. However, going forward, I believe that the collection will be able to play a more important role once travel activity rebounds, and I would like to talk about this new service in a bit more detail on slide 15 and onwards. So slide 15, the Small World Collection is our latest business, and it was launched in July. The basic technology for this online hotel booking engine came from the acquisition of Luxury Baird early in 2019. For over a year, our tech team has improved the back-end functionality of the Luxury Baird system, and we have also scrapped the front end and built three completely new front ends, one for web, one for iOS, and one for Android, within the Small World environment and with the Small World look and feel. We believe that the result is a modern and very intuitive and highly visually appealing booking experience with a distinctive look and character. And I am very proud of this latest addition to our service lineup. The Small World Collection is open to members, but also non-members. So non-members can also book with us. All they need to do is to create a free basic account, and you can access the service right now with the URL smallworldcollection.com, or it's also embedded in our regular membership pages under the collection. So what are the selling points of the Small World Collection? For that, let's turn to page 16. The slogan for the Small World Collection is "Hotels we love with extraordinary benefits." So let's look at the first part of this, which is hotels we love. We only feature hotels that we believe have the highest standards to ensure a great customer experience. So our focus is not on being complete and having all hotels. For that, I think customers will turn to a booking.com or an Expedia. So, but all our hotels are handpicked. We only have hotels where we think we have a great customer experience. So customers can book with confidence that they will be staying at a great hotel, no matter what hotel they choose. So we launched in July with 650 hotels. We've added more than 200 hotels since the launch. So we're currently at 850 hotels, and we will expand the selection to probably a target size of 1,200 hotels, which we will hopefully get to by the end of this year. Now, that's about hotels we love. Now let's turn to the second part of our slogan, which is extraordinary benefits, on page 17. For that, we've introduced our own branded rate, which is the Small World preferred rate. So when you look at the screenshot here, which is a room from the Hyatt in Mallorca, you will see that customers can always choose between two rates. On the left, you will find the lowest rate, which is the best price available, which caters to more price-sensitive customers. And on the right, you will find the real reason to actually book with us, which is the Small World preferred rate, which comes with many exclusive benefits that really make this great value for money. So here in this specific one, you see you get $100 resort credit, you get complimentary Wi-Fi, you get daily breakfast for two, you get early check-in, late check-out, and you get a room upgrade. So if you add this all up, this is easily compensates for the difference in price. but also this is generally the cancelable rate, so with free cancellation and the same price that you will find for this rate on other website. So in essence, what you actually get here is the cancelable rate, and in addition, all these benefits that I just mentioned, which makes it real value for money, and I think a very compelling reason to book with us. Then moving to page number 18, so since the launch in July, we've not only added more hotels, we've also been constantly improving the booking experience itself, and we have also secured some, I would say, heavyweight partners, which will help us to make the service even better. Here on the slide, you will see that we, the logos of Marriott and Shangri-La. So we have signed agreements with them to become preferred travel agency programs for Marriott, Stars, and Luminous, which gives us access to hotels like the St. Regis, Ritz-Carlton, Bulgari, The Edition, and so on, but also with the Shangri-La Luxury Circle, which gives us access to the Shangri-La properties, and it will allow us to expand our hotel offering quite a bit going forward. Like I said, today we have 850 hotels, and the goal is to have something like 1,200 hotels, to have a very complete set of hotels, and partnerships, which is such great partners, really help us to achieve this goal. Moving to page number 19, we have also introduced other great reasons to book with us, also in conjunction with external partners. So when you book with third-party tools like Booking.com or Expedia, you usually do not get loyalty points with your favorite programs. So you usually only get loyalty points when you book with the hotel sites directly. So for Hyatt, you book on the Hyatt page. For Bonvoy, you book on the Marriott page. However, we have now introduced a partnership with four hotel chains, which is Hyatt, so that's the World of Hyatt program, Marriott with Marriott Bonvoy, the Hilton Honors, which covers like the Waldorf Astoria and the Conrad hotels, and then also the Shangri-La Golden Circle. So when customers book the Small World Preferred rate with us, they will not only get all the benefits that we just talked about, but like now also they will get loyalty points, which is another really compelling reason to book with us. I mean, so they don't only get the benefits we already have, but they also now get the loyalty points. And on the website or also in the app, you can easily recognize hotels that where you can earn loyalty points with the logo on the page. Here you see an example of the Grand Hyatt in Shanghai, where you see on the bottom right the logo of the World of Hyatt indicating that you will earn loyalty points when you book that hotel with us. And then you put in your loyalty number, which we also store for future bookings, and you'll get your points directly into your account from the partner. So these are some of the highlights now from the subscriptions and the services segment. Now let's move to page number 21 for the consolidated financials. I will highlight a few important metrics and changes which allow you to more easily understand your result, our result. And a more comprehensive annual report is, of course, available for download on our investor website. So let's start with the income statement on page 21. So as I mentioned, sales from our core business decreased by 7% due to lower demand, especially for our services business on the back of the pandemic. The personal expenses also were reduced year on year quite significantly due to a smaller team setup, but also due to furlough support from the government to a certain extent. The operating expenses were reduced to a reduction in discretionary spend, which is also a result of the focus on costs that I mentioned in the beginning, but also fewer costs for consultants and external parties, which we had in 2019 due to the acquisition of Luxury Bear. And then the result on an EBITDA level, which is our focus metric for profitability, was an improvement by 3% year on year. Going further down, all the way down to the net result, the financial income is something that is worth mentioning, where it was a lot higher last year to, I would say, a one-time effect. the main driver for this was that we have liabilities in euro, and in Swiss francs, the liabilities became less due to an appreciating Swiss franc. So this effect was a lot smaller in 2020, and that's why the financial income was a lot smaller than last year. And then also it's worth mentioning that the income taxes have seen quite a significant change. Last year, we had a one-off effect from an IP transfer in the first class and more setup, which we transferred from the German entity to the Swiss entity because the international entity for first class and more is now in Switzerland. That resulted in a one-time tax effect last year, which was quite significant, was 400,000 Swiss francs. Obviously, this year, this effect wasn't there. That's why the net result looks a lot smaller, but it's basically not because it got worse year on year, but because we had two strong one-time effects last year. So in summary, that meant that the earnings per share moved from 0.11 Swiss francs to 0.06, which is probably a more realistic number compared to where the EBITDA is this year. And moving on to the balance sheet on page 22, we saw a reduction here in our cash position on the first line. This was due to a payout to first class and more in conjunction with the acquisition. You will see on the next few pages that this sort of this event had quite or is actually has implications on a lot of the financial statements. I think I'll just address it here. We paid 5.6 million Swiss francs out to the founder of First Class and More. This is sort of split into two payments. Basically, 1.9 million was due to the purchase price, which we said we would pay out of the over the next 3 years, and so 1.9 million was paid last year. We also had 3.5 million euros or 3.7 million Swiss francs still in the books at acquisition, which actually were still like owed to the owner of First Class and More, which we also paid out now and sort of that was a one-time effect. So, but all in all, 5.6 million were paid out, and you'll see that impact our financials quite a bit over the next few pages. So, that was mainly on the cash position here on this page. You will also see that the payments and accrued income has dropped quite a bit or decreased. This is mostly due to lower prepayments from travel arrangements and so on. And then also worth mentioning that the financial assets decreased, and this is due to the depreciation of that deferred tax asset or that one-time tax effect that we had last year, the 400,000, which I mentioned, which is basically written off to with 80,000 Swiss francs year on year over the next 5 years. And on the intangible asset, there was also a slight decrease due to the amortization of our intellectual property, which we also amortize over the five-year period. And page 23 shows the second part of the balance sheet. Here we see a significant reduction in liabilities, which is due to that payment that we saw for first class and more. So to start with a few of the highlights, payments from goods and services were reduced there to primarily due to settlement of outstanding invoices, which is primarily Miles and More, but also a few others. So we paid off a few open items, which reduced that line. Then other short-term liabilities, you'll see that they were significantly reduced year on year due to this first class and more payouts. And the long-term financial liabilities slightly increased. Have received funding from Pellegrino Capital, our anchor investor, and we've also taken advantage of government loans from Switzerland and the UK to the extent of 900,000 Swiss francs, which helped us with the financing of our business last year. And then long-term provisions were also reduced due to the payout from the acquisition of First Class and More. Overall, you see that the liabilities that we had year on year reduced quite a bit from 19.3 to 13.5 million. And then looking at the equity, we have negative equity, of course, as we always had, which is because we directly deduct any acquisitions from our equity. We don't hold any goodwill on our balance sheet. But the negative equity was reduced by 1.2 million. Just for comparison, if we would have been, we would have activated our acquisitions in terms of goodwill or in another fashion, our total equity would have stood at 7.6 million for the year, just to give an indication for if we would have used different accounting principles. So then moving on to page number 24, you will find here the first part of our cash flow statement. Here also to start with the payables from goods and services, they've been reduced quite a bit to that settlement of outstanding invoices, primarily miles and more, as I mentioned earlier. And then that got us to a point where the operating cash flow improved by 67%. To about 600,000 Swiss francs, which is great, shows that we actually managed to extract quite a bit of money from the core business, even with paying back quite a significant amount of open invoices in the goods payables from goods and services. So that's great. Then looking at the cash flow from investing activities, or actually in our case, a cash drain, you see that the number there is quite significant. It's 5.6 million under the acquisition of subsidiaries. And this is actually, the payout to First Class and More from the acquisition that I've mentioned earlier. On page 25, you find the second part of our cash flow statement. So here, the long-term financial liabilities are, again, in here with 1.5 million. That's, again, the financing we've received from Pellegrino Capital and from the Swiss and the UK government that I've mentioned earlier on the liabilities of the balance sheet. And then to bring it all together, sort of our net cash actually then decreased by 4.0 million or 4 million, which was, again, primarily impacted by this big payout to First Class and More of 5.6 million. Obviously, if this would not have happened, we would have been, net cash would have changed by 2 plus 1.6 million year on year. Good. That concludes the part on the consolidated financials. And of course, as I said, you'll find more details and more commentary on the in the annual report, which is available for download from our corporate website. Now, to conclude, I would like to give you an outlook for the current year, so 2021, on page 27. The market environment, to address that, first of all, it will remain difficult for most of the first half of the year. Obviously, now we're already in March, and we've seen that governments have been extremely slow with sort of the vaccination effort, and it all takes a bit longer than what we would have liked to see and what we would have hoped for. And we got to be honest and say that, our market environment is only going to improve once travel and social distancing restrictions are relaxed. And we believe that is tied to the vaccination effort. So it pretty much goes hand in hand. However, we hope that we will see these restrictions lifted or relaxed in the second half of the year, which will also help us to return to growth. And when global travel activity will rebound and social distancing rules are relaxed. And operationally, we will continue to invest in improving our business. In the meantime, we will continue to upgrade the Small World Collection by expanding the hotel offering and the functionality, as I've mentioned earlier. So we want to be well positioned when travel resumes. We also want to grow the collection with an affiliate program. We're in touch with different partners who could drive traffic towards the collection. So this is an ongoing process. For the Small World social network, we want to go back and improve the functionality on the technical side. And one big thing that we have on our agenda for early in Q2 is the introduction of the posting functionality. So in short, that will be the ability for members to upload photos in a similar fashion as they know it from Instagram and Facebook. We will hope that will lead to more engagement and sort of basically a more interesting environment for users. And with that higher engagement, the higher reason to like spend time on a small world and to invite friends. We also will improve the news feed to make that more interesting. And when users open it up, that it will give them more content and new content every single time so that we increase the likelihood that they open the app. So this is very much the focus for it's already in flight and will probably go live in Q2 this year, increasing engagement. And then for World's Finest Clubs, we already have started the efforts to improve or basically redesign the website, which will also introduce in Q2 this year. So this is these are a few of the immediate focus areas for our businesses now in the early part of 2021. Obviously, once we see an increase in activity again for travel or social distancing restrictions lifted, we will introduce events again. We will invest in marketing again to grow or the demand for our services. But we believe for the time being, this is just money not well spent, and we're rather focused on cost right now and save our ammunition for the later part of the year. And then for the final slide in terms of this presentation, we'll turn to page 28, which offers a guidance for 2021. We are, let's say, cautiously optimistic for this year. We anticipate moderate growth, but primarily driven by a recovery in the second half of the year. So in terms of revenue, what that means, we believe that we will have a growth rate somewhere between 4% and 8% year on year, sort of moving from 12 million to 12 and a half to 13 million. So roughly to get on par again with 2019. That's sort of our current expectation. In terms of members, we still believe that we can grow the member base by about 5 to 10% this year. So that would lead us to a member base of 66 to 68,000 members. And for the EBITDA, we actually want to drive this one more strongly. Despite sort of maybe a slow uptick in revenue, we want to really focus on the bottom line as well this year. And we believe we can get to somewhere between 1.7 to 2.2 million, which would be an increase of 15 to 45%. I do understand that this is quite a big range, but it sort of depends on quite a few factors that can impact that. And we didn't want to provide a range that is too narrow. But basically, we'll continue with a focus on cost and a focus on profitability for the short term until we can really drive growth again. So this is basically our best guidance as of today for this year. And this concludes basically my part of the presentation. And I'd be happy now to move to the Q&A session and address any questions you may have. So I hand it back over to you, Katie.
Thank you, sir. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone the opportunity to signal for questions. Thank you. Our first question will come from Marie Grubner with H&A Investment Banking.
Yes, good afternoon, Jan. Thanks a lot for the presentation. I have three follow-up questions, if you don't mind. I was wondering, first of all, if you could give us the number of members who are now Small World Prestige holders, and you know what price they're paying annually, and then what growth rate are we expecting for those packages in terms of members this year 2021? Is it still something very attractive for the subscriber base? The second question is if you can update us on the outstanding pay earnouts for the first 1,000 more owners. So what is due in 2021 and in which timing? And then last but not least, I was surprised not to hear a word at least on the Middle East luxury hospitality opportunity. So maybe you can touch base on that and see, tell us what where you stand on this one.
Hi, Marie-Thérèse. Well, great to have you with us, and thank you for the questions. Yes, of course. I'll address them in your order, if that's okay. So going to the Prestige membership. So, I mean, as always, we do not disclose like the member numbers for all the businesses separately for a few different reasons. But I can tell you that we're talking about, let's say, a few hundred people that have the Prestige membership. So it was in the very low hundreds in 2019, and now sort of we moved to the higher hundreds, if you want to put it like that, in 2020. The list price is 5,200. Having said that, we have had several sales efforts at a lower price, which have sort of resulted in an average price that is quite a bit lower than that, right? If you sort of look at that without sort of being too precise, to put it like that. We also had a few special sales offers which weren't at the list price. Sorry, I mentioned that already, and I'm just keep repeating myself. I hope that's okay. And then for the earnout on the FCAM first class and more side, yes, I can give you the overview. So, like I said, we paid 5.6 million now, which was sort of split into 3.7 for the cash that actually we had in the books with the acquisition that was basically just sitting there with us. That sort of the founder now had asked to be paid out. You could argue that kind of was never really our money. Our cash, and then we also paid 1.9 million as part of the purchase price. So then, this basically was the 5.6 million payouts that we have seen now in 2020. Looking forward, we have open payments of 5.2 million euros. Sorry, that's euros. So you have to add sort of like something like 8% on top for that for Swiss francs, but it's then due in euros at the time of when we need to pay it. For 2020, which will then be paid out in 2021, so this year, we will have to pay 1.8 million euros, so the same number as last year. So that will then probably be 1.9 million Swiss francs. And then there's a final payment for the year 2021, which will be due in 2022, which is 3.4 million euros, which then will be probably something like 3.6 million Swiss francs. And then we've actually we've paid everything that we still owed for the acquisition of First Class and More at that point. So that's
so 1.8 in 2021 and 3.4 in 2022.
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
And then for your last question about the Middle East opportunity, yes, that's right. I apologize that I didn't put it into this presentation. I think the reason why I didn't put it in was because we are currently still not allowed to give away the specifics of the project. As some of our larger partners still haven't sort of finalized a few things around the communication that they want to go ahead with, but the project is pretty much still on track. I mean, as per our press release, which I think was we put out in December last year. Maybe to give you a bit more color around that that's part of the business. So this is part of the Small World Hospitality, right, where we also have, you know, North Island as a hospital where we manage the hotel, and we've been sort of a consultant to a few hospitality projects in the meantime. So it hasn't been a large part of our business so far, but it's been it could be a larger part going forward. So specifically for this project, so it's in the Middle East where a project is being developed. Where most likely it will be built this year over the next 4 years, with sort of a market value of roughly $600 million. So this comprises 16 villas and about 250 units. It will also have a wellness resort and so on. And it will be branded apartments with a very sort of well-known international partner, which sort of gives some security that we will definitely have demand for the project. And the role of a Small World in this project is that we are basically the sales coordinator for this project. So we play something of a coordinating role between sort of developer, the marketing agency, and the real estate brokerage companies. And in that sense, our compensation there is tied to the sales of this project, which sort of could ultimately probably yield something like $10 million over the next, I would say, 4 years. In that sense, it could be quite relevant for us in terms of size. Having said that, it's heavily dependent on you know, timing of the sales and when we will start the sales effort and so on. As of now, it looks like we will start the sales effort sort of in the second half of this year. And then sort of, as I said, over the next sort of three and a half, 4 years, the units will be sold and we should see an income from this project. However, as there are so many still a lot of uncertainties around the exact timing and when we go live. And as I said, our partners didn't fully want to announce their commitment to the project as of now. I have sort of not put too much emphasis on it for now. I will obviously make sure that we put out a press release for the project as soon as we have to go from our partners and inform everyone about the future development of it. What might be relevant for you is that we have currently not factored in any sort of major sort of sales from this project for 2021 in that sense. So it's not like we've for our forecast we've banked on sort of a massive sort of in revenue coming from this project. So we treat it a bit more as an upside at this point. This is how we look at it right now. Might be
all right.
Important
thanks
for you to know.
That was my question, if it was in the guidance or not, but that's clear. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. Does that cover the three questions? And
thank you very much, Jan.
No problem, Marie.
Thank you. Again, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from Pierre Gauthier with Alpha Value.
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you, Jan, again, for this presentation. Very clear, as always. Obviously, you did very well in 2020 by protecting your cash flow generation. Part of that is owed to good working capital control. Is there any leeway in 2021 on that front if things go slow? My suspicion is that unlikely that you have any resources left on that front. That would be the first question. The second question is really about staffing. To what extent the staff, the permanent staff, can adapt to a no-growth situation? I do you think the morale can be maintained even though obviously the delay before normal operation is much longer than anybody thought when we move into this crisis? And my third question, if I may, I have three questions too, is really about the booking app for luxury hotels. Is it wrong to anticipate that this could be your next big cash flow machine if it does well, i.e. your business model might rotate away a bit from the original plans and maybe concentrate a bit more on that side of the business?
Yeah. Hi, Pierre. Great to have you with us, and thank you for the questions. I mean, can I just ask for the first question, leeway if things go slow, you mean if there's sort of, if we have a cushion in a financial sense, is that the question?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. So let me address that one first and then go to the others. Well, you know, yes, there is to a certain extent. I mean, we still have a credit line from Pellegrino Capital or main shareholder of, I think there's 1.3 million left that we could call on them for, right, for financing that they sort of committed that they would make available to us, which I think should bridge us to the point where we then will have paid out everything for the first class of more acquisition, and then we should be in good shape. Is it super comfortable in the sense that we're sitting on a lot of cash that we can just use? I would say no. It's productively uncomfortable right now in that sense, so that it makes sure that we're not complacent and we really like focus on not spending money unnecessarily. But I also don't think it's critical in the sense that we have to sort of worry about the in a going concern fashion about the business. And the good thing is also that the founder of First Class and More, who will receive that payout over the next 2 years. I mean, he's also a major shareholder in a small world, and worst case, we could probably also negotiate the payment terms with him to sort of make sure that we keep the business, going in that sense. So what I'm saying is, I think I'm not too worried from an existential point of view for the business, but obviously, would lead to a few uncomfortable conversations if more financing would be required through an extended period of COVID restrictions. But having said that, as you've seen for the forecast or the guidance for the EBITDA part, we also actually believe that, especially for the second half of the year, we can generate a bit more cash from business, which would help everyone. I hope that addresses the first point, or give you a bit more context at least. And then for point number two around staffing, which really is this staff motivation and the setup. I mean, it's a really good point, and something that we do not usually discuss too much in this context, where we just look at the results of the business. And obviously, it was a difficult year from a team perspective and for the staff, in the sense that we had to let go of a few people. I mean, as I said, we restructured the travel setup. We closed it in the UK, which led to redundancies. We've also downsized the tech setup a little bit. We downsized the event setup a little bit due to the slower business. And obviously, that creates uncertainty for the staff. I mean, about the business and where we're going, and are their jobs at risk? But I think we've always communicated this in a clear fashion and said, look, we have to make these cuts right now, but now this is the setup that we will have. And actually, to turn it around, we also can't go, I think, much lower in terms of staff to have a business that works well. So I think we're currently, like I would say, in the minimum setup that is required to push the business forward and to also grow. So difficult, but I think we have a great team, and we have everyone who's here is very committed to see it through and make it work and get out of this difficult environment. And so I'm not too worried that we will run into major problems with the team that we have right now, but it is also a tight team, I can tell you. And then to your last point around the hotel booking app, as you call it, or a small world collection, right, or online hotel booking engine. I just want to make sure it's not just an app, right? You can go to web, and actually, I mean, many people actually prefer to book on web because they have a bigger screen, and so it's actually also optimized for web. So you can find it under asmallworldcollection.com. And yes, I mean, obviously the goal is that this is, it becomes an important part of the business. Maybe a few thoughts around that to help you to make sense of it. I would say it's characterized by quite a significant upfront investment on the tech side to get it all set up to really have then the website where you can book and have it in the app that you can book. So this initial sort of setup cost to get it there and the tech investment is quite significant. On an ongoing basis, the tech part is, it becomes actually not too big. I mean, unless we want to make feature changes or others, it's more of a maintenance thing. And then what you really have to do is to manage the hotel inventory, and because we keep that one fairly small, we also have a fairly small team that takes care of that, so that's also fine, which means not too high a cost. And then if we have more and more bookings, it becomes a scalable thing where we just need to increase the number of operational people that take care of the bookings. But that one's scalable, and if I have to hire 3, 4, 5 more people, I gladly do that because that means that the business is going well on that side. So in that sense, it's not going to be a major cost going forward. It really was a big cost to set it up. Now we should not see a lot of ongoing costs from that. And with that, yes, it can actually become quite an interesting business from a cash flow perspective because, as we said, if we won't have a lot of like operating costs, and as we generate bookings and every booking generates a commission, this can become interesting quite quickly. I would say and that's also the goal. That's how we monetize our audience more because they travel a lot. Obviously now, not during COVID, which is also why it's at the moment quite hard to say how well they're actually doing with bookings because, we're in contact with a lot of travel partners and they're all not doing great. So it's a bit difficult to say whether we should have more bookings or not right now, but we keep pushing. And also with the affiliate program, we will try to activate partners to do a bit of marketing for us. But yes, it can lead to become a good contributor to our bottom line. I don't think it will ever be a big contributor to our top line. And sort of also to mention this here, because the way this works from an accounting point of view is if you book a hotel with us, and let's say you spend 2,000 euros for a weekend, you stay at the Hyatt, you book with our great, a smaller preferred rate, you get all the benefits, you will pay 2,000 at the hotel, so you've actually paid directly to the hotel. And once you've stayed at the hotel will say, okay, Small World, you brought us this booking. We will send you your commission, which is usually somewhere around 10%. So we'll get 200 euros for that. And the 200 euros will be what we will recognize as revenue. And then we have a few of our costs against it for the team that runs it and so on. But what I'm saying is we would have to generate quite a significant amount of bookings because we can only recognize the commission for it to be big enough to be relevant for our top line compared to the other businesses. So, I mean, yes, it can get there, but I think it's primarily, firstly, more important for the bottom line than it will be for the top line. I think it's also important to note that. And I hope that sort of gives you a bit of a better idea on how we think about that business also financially.
It does. Thank you. But is there much competition in, specialist platforms such as a Small World Collection?
Yeah. Yes. Let's be honest. It's a Me Too product to start with, right? I mean, to book hotels online is not something that is a new invention and that we kind of like brought to the market as the first one. And with that, obviously, the competition from established platforms like Booking.com or Expedia, which I've mentioned during the call, is massive. And also, people will already have their habits of booking with them. So basically, then trying to get them to book with us needs convincing, right? So you either have a very nice, it looks very nice, which is sort of probably a softer reason. You have a very good selection of hotels, which is what we're working at, and then had like really a great hotel selection, and that should be one of our advantages compared to like, you know, every hotel out there, which you can click. If you want to book a hotel in London, you can click yourself through like thousands of hotels on like booking.com. And the real, I think the real kicker or the real sales argument where we are different from other booking platforms, especially the ones that I've mentioned, is that with the Small World preferred rate, you get all these benefits that you do not get anywhere else, right? Especially not online. I mean, some offline travel agencies can offer some of those benefits, but like, I mean, we are really one of the few platforms that offers these benefits online. And now we just need to go out and get the word out that you can get that with a Small World. But it will take a bit of time. But in that sense, what I'm saying is, I think we have a competitive product, especially with the Small World preferred rate. But in the end, you are competing against some very big players, and you are competing against, I mean, you can't really say that, but you're fighting against established booking habits, because you can book the same hotels probably through other channels as well, which users will have done already because they're quite travel savvy and they will have traveled before. So I'm saying like, yes, the competition is there. I just hope that with our captive audience and the great Small World preferred rate, which is quite a unique thing, we can convince them to book with us, deliver a great experience, and have them come back to us afterwards.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you, Pierre.
Thank you. At this time, we have no further questions in the queue. I would now like to turn the call back over to Mr. Lucier for closing remarks.
Fantastic. Well, then I would like to thank everyone for their interest and for being part of the call today, especially Marie-Thérèse for you and Pierre for your questions. Fantastic. It makes it a bit more interactive. Look, 2020 was difficult. To summarize it again, the beginning of 2021 will stay similar to what we had last year. I think we've done as much as we could in a difficult environment to focus on the bottom line in this sense, and to preserve cash, and also to build, you know, expand the businesses with the collection, but also, I mean, with the real estate project in Dubai that we also quickly talked about. And also prepare the business for when travel will resume, or as I said, we're now focusing on improving the Small World tech setup to make it more engaging and so on. So I think we're doing our part to not only to conserve cash, but also invest in the business and make it more interesting long term. However, as I said, we will be tied to a bit to the market environment, which is all influenced by how quickly we get the vaccines out. And so I really hope that the governments will be fast with that, and the pharmaceutical companies will produce the vaccines fast. And then it will start to be interesting again, because then we really have the setup that we want to have long term, and the market environment that we need for our services. So we're hanging in there and doing our part, but it was definitely not the best year for us, 2020. And we hope 2021 will, at least towards the end of the year, be an improvement again, and we can return our path of profitable growth. So with that, I want to close and thank everyone who participated today, and wish you all a nice day.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.